Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 22.
Just to give you a little bit of context, Peter and John have been thrown in jail. They are now facing a public trial before the people who condemned Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old.
"We used to own a house that was lime green, and it was awful. We bought it cheap. It looked awful. It was awful. It was lime green, and it was two-story. It was made out of Besser blocks, and it was just, it was terrible. It wasn't a terrible house, but it was just an ordinary little house. And I had this great idea that we'd paint it. We painted it yellow, and to get from olive green to yellow took a couple of coats, as you can imagine. And it was two-story. The top, the end of it had a gable. I think it's called a gable end, the church end. And to get up the top, to get paint onto the very top corner, I was on a ladder with a roller on a stick going like this. Yeah, I was so scared. I was just doing small movements because I didn't want to fall all the way down. And it took ages and ages. Had to paint the front, paint the side, paint the other end, paint the front. The back of the house had a veranda, so it was easier to paint because you'd paint the veranda, then you go downstairs, mate. I was struggling. And our friends Lynn and Cephas turned up. And Cephas, I said to Cephas, "I've been painting the house, but we'll leave it alone for the weekend." And he goes, "Oh, no, we're going to paint." So it was one of these friends who, that when they turn up, you go, yes. So I didn't plan to put him to work, but he put himself to work. And so there, Cephas, tear it away. And he's a lineman and an electrical sort of guy. He's a hard worker. So he was, and it was just awesome. And I could feel myself getting more excited about it. And I was painting and rolling and cutting. And you know, it made a huge difference to me. The story we've got in front of us is part of Peter's journey. Peter, a couple of weeks ago, said to everybody at Jesus' arrest, "Jesus isn't my friend. Don't make me part of this." And now we've got him. He's been healing in the temple, which is a bit of a no-no, and he's been dragged into court, and he's about to be tried publicly by the same people who condemned Jesus. There's a transformation here. It's not all about Peter, but I want you to see that. It's exciting. Let's start. But before we start, I would like to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you love us dearly. Help us to keep seeing your love for us and keep seeing your goodwill to us. You care for us. You made us, you sustain us, and you call us to you. Help us, Lord, to answer that call. Help us to have soft hearts. Lord, where we're discouraged, pick us up, Lord, and encourage us. Where we're a bit downtrodden, pick us up, Lord, and encourage us. Where we have things that we need to deal with, help us to repent. Where we misunderstand things, help us, Lord, to come to you. I pray that today, as a community of your people, that we will learn together and see you, Lord Jesus, as our great Lord. Amen. Well, what happens in this story? Verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They were being naughty. Very, very naughty. Peter and John are telling people that death isn't final. It's not final, they're saying. Jesus rose from the dead. You will rise from the dead again as well. And they did not like that message. The Sadducees especially hated that message. These people killed Jesus. They got rid of him. And now his friends have turned up. It's a pain in the neck. They are greatly disturbed. They lose their temper. They are spitting chips. They seize Peter and John and chuck them in jail because it's sort of the end of the day. They can't get all the business done. So they chuck them in jail. Peter and John, there's no record of what's happening, but they're in jail. Why were they so upset? They were preaching unauthorized. Unauthorized preaching. They were in the temple preaching, teaching the people when they weren't part of the establishment. So no one was happy with that. They were stealing the audience. They were stealing the traditional Jewish priest's audience. And they hated that. Just like when Jesus taught and healed in the temple, the Jews hated it. They were causing a fuss. Being in charge is a big deal for these people. And so they were upset about it. Upset. The Sadducees especially like traditional religion where you don't get too excited about anything. We'll just go along nice and steady. We won't get excited. We won't talk about the Spirit. We won't talk about God too much. We won't talk about this coming to life again stuff. No, no, no. We won't talk about that stuff. We'll just talk about what the people need to do at the temple, and we'll talk about being polite, and we'll just keep it all chill. But that's not what Peter and John are doing. That's not what Peter and John are doing. What's the backstory? Well, in chapter 3, if you want to skim read chapter 3, if you get bored, skim read chapter 3. Chapter 3, Peter and John are going into the temple. The beggar looks at them, the cripple, and the cripple wants some dinner or some money. They say, we haven't got any cash on us, but we'll tell you what, we'll heal you instead. What we have, we'll give you. They heal him in Jesus' name. The guy jumps up. And instead of walking and going, oh, okay, I'm here at the temple, going nice and quietly, he's jumping and carrying on and shouting and praising God. And everyone goes, what's happening? So there's a crowd drawing. It's really exciting. There's a huge buzz. And this buzz is unauthorized buzz. Unauthorized buzz. So they're upset. Peter and John, Peter is really excited about this. He sees God at work. He says, basically from verse 12, he says, don't look at us. He says to the crowd, don't look at us. We didn't do it. The God of Abraham, our God, has glorified his servant Jesus. And it's through his name that this man has been healed. That is such good news. And then he goes on. He says, you disowned the righteous one and got a murderer released. Remember that? You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. By faith in Jesus, this man was raised. That's the backstory. So the crowd are hearing this and excited. Peter has grown bravery through the Spirit, and he's excited. It's a great day. One of Peter's conclusions is verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He's saying, come back to God. Repent. Come back to God. No wonder the officials are upset. No wonder. Think about what the officials say. the priests and the Sadducees, they say, you've got a problem, come to us. You can BYO sacrifice, or we'll sell you one with temple money. We'll change your money for you. There'll be a slight charge, but we'll change your money for you. You can buy a sacrifice, and then we, the priests, will offer it for you, and we'll take a piece of the animal and for ourselves, which was God's word. Peter's saying, go straight to God. It's a huge change. It's a huge change. No wonder they are spewing. Verse 4, chapter 4. But many who heard, so they're in jail. But many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. If you look in your Bible at chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We just read chapter 4, verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So things are chugging away. Things are growing. Things are expanding. The officials could throw Peter and John in jail, but people keep coming on board with the gospel and keep responding to the gospel. It's beautiful. Humanly speaking, we can be harassed and pushed around as much as anyone wants, but it doesn't stop the gospel. Deniliquin, they go to church in the local cinema. They bought the local cinema, the theater, because the theater couldn't make money, but God's still alive. So the theater's dead in Deniliquin, but God's still doing fine. God's still doing fine. And so they have youth group where you used to buy popcorn, and they have church in the main theater auditorium space. It's beautiful. So things are going well. The Jews can't stop the gospel. The message of Jesus is making sense to people, and God's spirit is working in people, even though there's opposition. Jesus is setting people free. Jesus is forgiving people. Jesus is giving people a sense of eternity, a sense that death is not the end, that coming to God is possible. It's a huge wave. We spent 19 years living two blocks from the beach, and you look at the tides. The tides go in and the tides go out every day, in, out, in, out. It's not to do with the moon and the stars. No, it's to do with the moon. And the tide drops and the water swishes down. Tide comes in, pushes up. Now, kids like to build sandcastles and walls at the tide line. And so they dig a big hole and they build up a castle, and sometimes they'll make a wall, and then they'll have this wall. Maybe it's nearly a foot tall, and it's going to stop the ocean. And they've got a castle, and you watch it, and the water comes. And they go, oh, okay, put some more sand. Before you know it, the whole thing's underwater. You can't stop the tide. And it's that sort of feeling that I get with the gospel, that the world cannot stop Jesus' impact on the world. Jesus' impact on the world is going to happen whether or not people who are opposed to him want it. Peter and John saw Jesus rise. They saw him be killed, and they saw him rise and alive. That is the power that's in their lives. Sometimes I've actually been thinking about this lately. What is it that makes me convinced about being a Christian? And I think what makes me convinced is that people saw Jesus alive and gave their lives for that. Because you wouldn't give your life for a lie. If we're going to play a trick on someone, you're not going to let yourself get killed. If you know it's a lie or you know it's a trick, you don't do that. These people were deadly serious that Jesus was alive, and they bet their whole lives on it. I think that's astoundingly interesting. So Peter and John, they've changed their lives. They are now sticking up for Jesus. They're preaching Jesus' name under pressure when people aren't wanting them to. It's their foundation for hope and faith that Jesus rose. We need to think about that. It is the fuel that will keep our hearts going. That Jesus rose. He offers us new life. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us a way to go straight to the Father. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Maintaining 100% confidence in Jesus will help us in so many ways. It'll keep our hearts buoyant. It'll keep our desire for ministry and serving people alive and well, that Jesus died and Jesus rose and that death couldn't hold him down. I think it's terrific. Okay, so the first point I want to make is that Jesus is risen, because that's what Peter and John were talking about. Second point is Jesus is active. Well, we're coming now to that section that we had read to us, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Who are these guys in this little show? They're the same people who hated Jesus and condemned Jesus and sent him off to the Romans. These are not our friends. Basically, they're Jesus' enemies, and they've become Peter's enemies. In some ways, Peter is reliving part of Jesus' life. You remember when Jesus preached in the temple and healed people? He was rejected by the Jewish authorities. He was tried and killed. Peter is doing the same thing. He's been at the temple healing and teaching. He has been rejected. And we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. He's now in trial. Think about how Peter's changed. 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, he was saying, I don't know Jesus. Do not ask me anymore about Jesus. I don't even know. I've never heard of him. That's what he said about his friend. And now he's as bold as a lion. He's bold as a lion. Verse 7, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? That's a bad question to ask when people want to talk about it. If you ask people a question, that's okay. But if you accidentally ask them a question that they really, really, really want to talk about, you're there all day. You know, anyway, we won't talk about that. So that's what they do. They say, why did you do this and whose name did you do it? And Peter and John go, yes. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus from Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Wow. He says, if we're in trouble for healing someone, I'll tell you whose fault it really is. It's Jesus. Remember that guy you killed? God raised him from the dead. It's in his name that it happened. And he says, don't blame me. Jesus, then in verse 11, Jesus keeps at him. He doesn't let him off. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. There's a problem in the verse. Have a look at the word you, the stone you builders. In Psalm 118, verse 22, it says the builders. Peter personalizes it for him. He says it's the stone you builders rejected, because they were the one who rejected Jesus. It's fascinating. I'm always on the lookout for jokes in the Bible. I think this is funny because Peter says, he quotes the Old Testament psalm from King David 1,000 years round figures ago. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, but he says the stone you builders rejected. And then he keeps going. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. To the people who run the temple, he says, you guys have been running the temple, but now that Jesus has come, you've got to look to Jesus, not to sacrifice. You've got to look to Jesus. No wonder they don't like him. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and finally realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Wow. The judges, the important people, realize these people aren't trained lawyers, yet they're talking brilliantly. They're friends of Jesus, and it's terrible for them. They're frustrated. Verse 14, they're frustrated because the guy who got healed turned up next day to be part of the show. If you were smart and you'd been healed by Peter and John and you didn't want to get kicked out of the temple, you'd go and hide for a week. You'd let Peter and John get harassed, and then you come back to the temple, say nothing. But he doesn't. He's there with them. And everyone's saying, well, there he is. There he is. He's been healed. It's beautiful. So what's the response? Verse 14. But since they could see that the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them not to speak, warn them to speak no longer we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak in the, or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Verse 21, after further threats, they couldn't even work out how to punish them and get away with it with the crowd. The crowd are watching, the crowd are witnessing, the crowd are praising God, and the man had been crippled for 40 plus years. So everybody knew him. Everybody had walked past him on the way to the temple. Everybody. And there he is, healed. What a beautiful picture. The good news is spreading. The Jewish authorities are trying their hardest to stop it. But the news of Jesus is spreading. It's spreading. We were up at Foster for a little holiday a little while ago. And the beaches are awful at Foster. Don't go to Foster for a holiday. The landscape is hilly country coming down to a beach. And if you've got hills behind the beach, you've got hills under the water. That's the basic rule. If you've got a flat, sandy suburb going into the beach, you're going to have a gentle beach. This one was like this. It was awful. And so you're standing in about a foot of water, and these 4 or 5 foot dumpers come and go, boom, crash. And you can dive under them, but you've got to keep your wits about you. During one of the swims, there were two kids crying because they'd been slaughtered, and they weren't my kids. And I was out there swimming happy, and at one stage there's a dad holding their kids a hand, and he said, we've got to go, there's a set. And I thought, oh, no, set, which means the big sort of 3 or 4 waves coming through. And I looked, and I thought, oh, there it is. So as I dived under it, do you know that feeling when the wave goes, and it sort of pulverizes your spine? It goes, and anyway, so I got through that. But, you know, the kids couldn't have stood there and said, stop the waves. They would have got smashed. It's the same as what's happening with this story. No matter what the Jews do, no matter what Satan, who's behind it all, does, the gospel goes forward. People see the truth of it, and people are praising God. There's people in the crowd. The Jewish authorities are saying, rah, 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 rah. And the crowd's going, praise God for healing this guy. Praise God. It's awesome. It's a beautiful picture. Well, let me finish off with a change of pace. The third point I want to make is the Lord is King. So the first point I wanted to say was, which I didn't introduce properly, I apologize. Jesus is risen. Jesus is active because he healed the guy. The next point that I want to make is that the Lord is King. The Lord is King. Peter then goes back and gets together with his Christian brothers and sisters, which I defined it. It's in about verse 23. From verse 23 onwards, it's an account of when Peter gets released, having been told, don't you talk about Jesus. And he goes, I'm going to anyway. And then he goes home to his friends, the Christian brothers and sisters. Here we go. On their release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, this is great. Here's verse 24, the alternative version. Okay, you ready? When they heard this, everyone decided that we'd better be quiet and not say anything more about Jesus, because we'll get in trouble and then the terrible things will happen. No! Here's what they said. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That's a section from Psalm 2. They say, basically their prayer is, God, you made everything and you said already 1,000 years ago that people are going to oppose your anointed one, your anointed son. It's all going to happen. It's clearly being fulfilled that the authorities opposed Jesus. They thought they'd won. They thought they'd got rid of this God business, but no, they couldn't. All the powerful people in Jerusalem stood against Jesus. Verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Do you know how frustrating it must have been for the Jewish authorities? Just imagine this. You got a great plan. You got enough guys to grab someone. You kill them. They come back to life, and then all their friends start talking about it. You start killing them, and they talk about it even more. How frustrating. How frustrating. These people are serving God's purpose, even though they're God's enemies. Do you catch how frustrating that would be? I would hate to be in that position. These people who are opposing Jesus have no control, but in the back of it, God knew that his son would die as a sacrifice for our sins, cleansing us. I talked to someone yesterday who's got a lot of problems. And I thought, you know, the only reason you're okay and I'm okay is that God has forgiven us. It's not because I'm cleaner and better. It's not because you're clean and good. It's because we're forgiven. And that's the message that Peter is preaching. Jesus wants us to come back to God and be forgiven, be accepted, be close to God. It is such good news, such good news. Verse 29. Now, Lord, this is a prayer. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. He's just been in court and he prays. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant, that's me, to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He says, he prays, Lord, please help me to be brave and bold, and please do miraculous work so I get opportunities of talking to a crowd more and more. It should read, Lord, please accept my resignation. I'm going on holidays for a couple of weeks, but it doesn't. After they'd prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Isn't that beautiful? It is because Jesus rose that they're powered. It's not because they've been a university. It's not because they've been to the university of the school of hard knocks and they're tough people. It's because Jesus has risen and changed their lives. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is great news. They knew he had been killed. They were there. They knew he had been killed. And they had seen him again and talked with him for 40 days. They knew that Jesus was the only answer to forgiveness. He offered forgiveness. Jesus offered the only way to get right with God. The only way to understand that you're truly loved and accepted by God is coming through Jesus. Jesus defeated death. This is the end. Jesus defeated death. We can look forward confidently without fear. We can look forward confidently. Jesus has power over the world's opponents. We do not have to fear people who oppose the gospel. Jesus gives us boldness and confidence to be able to minister and reach out. That is awesome. It's not your own effort. Jesus is not saying, you try harder. You be a good kid and try harder. No, Jesus is going to work through you through the Holy Spirit. I think, so you're allowed to throw it away if you want. I think that looking at Jesus is the only way for us to have a single-minded view of ministry and care for each other and the world. Because in Jesus, there are great answers, the great answers to life's problems and for eternity. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I praise you so much. You are our God and our King. You've risen from the dead. You invite us to be your children, your brothers and sisters, children of the King. I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts, soften us, help us to be filled with hope, Lord, that we are going the right direction with you. Fill us with hope, fill us with courage, fill us with bravery. Amen.